The liturgical sense of the readings at Mass. Initially, it may seem unusual to celebrate an event that occurred 30 years after the Nativity within the Christmas season. However, early Catholic traditions commemorated Christmas and Epiphany together and encapsulated four of the five great theophanies of Jesus' divine revelation to the world. The Nativity, the visit of the Magi, the baptism of Jesus, and the wedding feast at Cana. The fifth great theophany, the Transfiguration, is celebrated later on August 6. By the 4th century, Western liturgical rites distinguished between Christmas on December 25th and Epiphany on January 6. The Council of Tours in 567 further established these as distinct feast days, with the 12 days between them marking the joyous Christmas season. In 1955, the Reformed liturgical calendar under Pope Pius XII bestowed the feast of the baptism of the Lord with its own celebration, observed on a Sunday following Epiphany. Unless Epiphany falls on January 7th or 8th, then it is celebrated on the immediately following Monday. This distinction occasionally moves the baptism of the Lord outside of the Christmas season and into ordinary time. Derived from the Greek words theos, meaning God, and phiano, meaning to show, a theophany is a visible and tangible manifestation of a deity to a human person, often accompanied by events that inspire awe and wonder. In the Catholic Christian tradition, a theophany is synonymous with revelation, where God unveils his divine nature and mission to humanity. In the dual Christal theophanies of nature, the Nativity and the baptism, the revelation was that Jesus was both fully human and fully divine. Then, in the triad mission Christal theophanies, the Epiphany revealed that Jesus' mission was for all nations. The Transfiguration demonstrated that his mission fulfilled the prophet's visions. And the wedding feast at Cana revealed Jesus' joint mission with the Holy Spirit to transform us through sacramental grace. Though we may philosophically distinguish between nature and mission of Christal theophany, this division is symbolic rather than actual. In essence, when we speak of the nature and mission of the Holy Trinity, we understand that their mission embodies who they are, and who they are is inherently their mission. A perfect example of that invisible distinction in Christ Jesus' nature and mission is found in today's Gospel reading from Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 16 and 21 through 22, saying, "After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" While the theophany of the Epiphany uniquely revealed Christ Jesus' mission is towards those who visited him, the theophany of his baptism also speaks to that reality according to whom he visited. In writing that, after all the people had been baptized, Jesus is with whom he has come for, all those who have repented of their sins, and those who have repented now share a solidarity with Jesus through baptism. So, in the place where humanity has confessed its fallenness, neediness, and helplessness, is also the same place where the theophany of help descended in a sign of solidarity, in the form of a human body, the Holy Spirit, to begin his joint mission with them, and uniquely with Jesus Christ, who was announced from the heavens above to be the beloved Son of God. Although the baptism of the Lord occurs decades after the nativity and baptism, the words of the prophet in today's first reading from Isaiah chapter 42 verses 1 through 4 and 6 through 7 that, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations." And the second reading from Titus chapter 2 verses 11 through 14 and chapter 3 verses 4 through 7 writing, "Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness and to cleanse himself for a people as his own, eager to do what is good." Remind us of the challenge that these events intimately share. Our help is like one of us. He is a helpless and needy infant. Emmanuel, God with us. Perhaps a shocking sight to see for the wise men who had traveled from afar, and perplexing to those who witnessed him receive a baptism like them, but whom the heavens declared was also like God. On that day, Jesus stepped into the murky embrace of the Jordan. The brown water swirled around his ankles as his feet sank gently into the soft riverbed. The crowd lining the banks fell silent, their curious gazes fixed upon him. Sunlight filtered through the leaves, casting dampened shadows on the scene, while whispers fluttered among the onlookers like distant echoes. Each step he took seemed to carry the weight of untold stories, the muddy water symbolizing a death of humanity he was willing to wade into. John's eyes met his with a mix of reverence and awe, recognizing the significance of this moment. The air was thick with anticipation, as if the very heavens were leaning in to hear the first stanza of a divine symphony. As a point of human pride, we often resist the idea that our helpers are like us. We find comfort when those performing menial tasks appear to be beneath our social standing, or when those assisting us with complex matters seem to be our equals or superiors. For instance, affluent individuals always feel uneasy if their housekeepers drive the same luxury cars or vacation at the same exotic locations as they do. This solidarity with our helpers has always been a social taboo, and we have all collectively signed a contract to uphold it. However, this norm of polite society starkly contrasts with the essence of every Christian theophany, liturgy, and sacrament of the church. These sacred traditions reveal that Jesus, in his likeness to us, can truly help us because he understands our human experience, yet even more profoundly. While he shares our humanity, he elevates us into the destiny of our true self by transforming us to be like him, human and divine.
This is just one way how the readings at Mass this Sunday connect to the liturgy, and how the liturgy is forming us how to live our lives in the world. Be in the world which you have received through the liturgy. I am David L. Gray. Visit me online at davidlgray.info for more content and context about the liturgical sense of the scriptures.